eternity. Can you hear me out there? Yes, I believe it's working. 1 Samuel chapter 15, we're going to look at the idea of saying no to excuses. Saying no to excuses. And since we're on the theme of excuses, there's a college activity coming up, and some of the guys like to ask out some of the young ladies for a date, for a time to get to know them a little bit. So I wanted to give you ladies some excuses. If you don't like the guy, you can give them a nice answer. Just common, everyday, normal, sensical things, answers, such as, I have to answer all my spam in my emails. It might take me a little while. I have to floss my cat. I just got sick, since you asked me. I don't date anyone outside my species. And then lastly, I have to go in search of my charms, which were stolen from me by an angry leprechaun. So, girls, wanted to give you a few answers when the guys ask you out on a date, especially if it's a guy that you're not interested in, something that you can give them as an excuse. All right, we're going to look at this idea this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 15, if you will. Did I give that to you? Yes, I did. 1 Samuel chapter 15. It is exciting to be in chapel, exciting to be in a place where the Lord is working. And I believe He is working in our midst. We see this in the church. We see this in the college. And you make sure He's working in your life as well. And if He's not, don't make excuses for it. There's a reason. So let's look at this idea. 1 Samuel chapter 15 this morning. I'll just skip through and read a couple of verses in this chapter about Saul and his excuses. 1 Samuel 15, we'll start in verse 3. Here's the command of God very clearly given to Samuel, to Saul, by Samuel. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Go down to verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Going down to verse 13, here he comes back with his disobedient crowd to Samuel. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen. Going down to verse 20, Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took of the spoil. He's making excuses. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I ask that you'd help us to not make excuses. Be with each one of these young people this morning. Work in our hearts. Help us to be honest with ourselves and honest with you and deal with the problem rather than making excuses about it. I pray that you bless this time, this message this morning. Be with your word, Lord. I pray that we'd learn from it this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You look at this example of Saul and his excuses that he makes and his dishonesty. You look at, we'll get to it later, we'll look at the command of God to Moses. When God gave Moses a command, Moses at first made excuses. He went around and around and around five times. He comes up with these excuses. But in the end, he obeyed the Lord. Listen, all of us at times, every one of us, we make excuses about things. And the key is that we turn from that excuse and say, I was wrong. Admit it. Surrender to God's will, to God's call. When you do something wrong, you surrender. right away. Lord, I was wrong as soon as you're faced with it. David, we looked at him in one of my classes this morning. He committed his sin with Bathsheba, and when he's confronted with it, the obvious thing lacking is his excuse of why he did it. He just immediately said, I have sinned. He didn't make an excuse. The word excuse means it's an attempt to lessen the blame attached to a fault or offense. It's a defense that we put up to justify ourselves. In the noun form, it's a reason or an explanation put forward to defend or justify a fault. Well, this is the reason I couldn't do it. This is the reason why I am the way I am. Something that happened to me in my life or whatever it might be. The great coach John Wooden said, never make excuses. Your friends don't need them and your foes won't believe them. Ben Franklin said, he that is good for making excuses is seldom good for anything else. Don't make excuses. A famous speaker said, at the end of the day, let there be no excuses, no explanations, no regrets. Florence Nightingale, a nurse many years ago, I attribute my success to this. I never gave or took any excuse. General Patton, 1940s, said, do not make excuses. I'm sure he had some colorful language mixed in with that too. Do not make excuses, whether it's your fault or not. Don't make excuses. Excuses are like dirty socks, someone said. Everyone has some and they all stink. Where there's a will, there's a way. I love this one. Pastor Stowe in Texas said this many years ago. I'll never forget it. Where there's a will, there's a way. Where there's not a will, there's an excuse. Don't make excuses. Winners win. Losers have excuses. Don't make excuses. Someone said, and there's a little poem, excuses are tools of the incompetent which create monuments of nothingness. Those who specialize in them are seldom good in anything. We can talk to some of us about our problems or our grades or whatever our character traits, our lack of character. And it's easy to come up with a reason of why this is. I was raised a certain way, or I wasn't taught that as a kid, or I hear people say all the time, I ran out of time. And we all have, we're busy, we're short on time sometimes, but I ran out of time, or this happened, or that happened. Just this morning, I had I messed up on something with the candy sale money, which is easy to do, by the way. And wow. What is your natural reaction? Boy, I defend myself. I've been busy this and I've been doing this. And it's easy to come up with all kinds of excuses of why things are the way they are. Why do you have the problems that you do in your life? Well, it's because of, and you name it off. You want us to sing Kumbaya with you, and spend time strumming our guitar and making you feel good. That's what we all want. Forget it. It's time to grow up. It's time to take the responsibility of why we did and why we are the way we are. Change it. Make some changes in your life instead of making excuses in your life. It's easy to do. I hate to be the one to break this to you, but every one of us have things in our lives that we don't like. And we all can sit around and feeling sorry for ourselves. And we can all say, listen, I know some go through harder things than others do. I know some people go through much more difficult circumstances than others, and more than I have. I was raised in a Christian home. I didn't have to face some of the things that some of you face. But guess what? We can all sit there and feel sorry for ourselves and make excuses. And this is why it's going bad. This is why my Christian life is hard. This is why I'm always tired. We can all come up with excuses. It's time to stop making excuses in our lives. And you look at the example here of Saul, and you see some of the horrible excuses and the dishonesty, flat out dishonesty that he shows here. I heard some some excuses why people are late to work. Very common ones. You can probably guess some of these. I overslept is the most common one. My wife was sick and I had to take the children to school. My cat went missing. I got stuck in traffic. Someone said the bus broke down. Another person said I'm running late because I spent the night in urgent care after being beaten up and stabbed. Believe that? Someone else said my children locked me out of the house and wouldn't let me in. Had to call a locksmith and get him to open the door so I could get my keys, take the kids to school, and then go to work. Wow, I feel sorry for that school. Has to keep those kids. Listen, we all have excuses. But the best way to deal with some problem, the best way to deal with a mistake or a sin or whatever, is to be honest. I was reading, and I could have gone for many more, much more time on this, just from the aspect of businesses. Motivational speakers at businesses, you know one of the worst things that they deal with? Excuses by workers for being late or for doing drugs. I mean, that's a huge problem in the workforce. They can't keep their job because they can't stay away from the drugs. Well, this is my addiction. And it's full. They all deal with these excuses. And we as Christians need to stand up and say, I'm going to take some responsibility. And that's, we have to be honest with ourselves and honest with God and say, this is my problem. I deal with the problem. Everybody's human. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody forgets to set their alarm once in a while. Everybody forgets to do an assignment sometime. But listen, we grow up and we take some responsibility for those things. When you make a when you turn around and you just lie and you're dishonest, you lose the trust and you lose the respect of people. Be honest. Be honest. Deal with it. All right, I want to look at this example here of Saul and then of Moses. I think it's very interesting. We make excuses along the same lines. Here in this case, Saul greatly disobeyed the word of the Lord, and then he goes around making excuses and lying and covering up, trying to cover up. You know, it's kind of hard to cover up a whole flock of sheep. You know, they're all making all kinds of noise. Oh, no. This is, I actually obeyed, even though it doesn't sound like it. I actually did obey. And he says that several times. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. So he sinned and messed up, and then he goes around making excuses, and he never repented of that, even though he did say at the end, I have sinned. Now come and worship me again. Make me at least look honorable to the people. In the case of Moses, God told Moses a specific task to do. And you can fit this in your situation when God comes to you and he has something for you to do. As a teenager or as a college student, God gives you a responsibility to do, and you can sit there and say, well, I'm not really cut out for college, you know, because I can't get good grades, or I can't this, or I can't that. I can't. We can all sit there again and make excuses, but what did Moses do? He made excuses, and then he turned from that, and he said, okay, I'll go. I'll do what you want. And then you look at the story of David, which I'll just touch on at the end. David admitted that he had done wrong. So let's look at this. Here we see Saul say messing up. Saul comes along and he doesn't obey. And of course, he never turns away from that. Look at verse 21. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Verse 24, Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. What is the problem? He feared people. He did what he wanted to do. But he feared the people, and he blames it all on the people. Who are you blaming for your troubles? Who do you blame for your troubles? Is it your parents? You know, sometimes it's me coming by in the morning. He came at 6:30. I mean, what's wrong with him, you know? We can blame other people for our problems. Once you realize something, that's not going to change if you don't make it change. You're going to get married, and you're going to blame your wife. You're going to blame your husband. You're going to blame your children. Say, well, yes, you will. That's just the natural thing. What did Adam and Eve do? I mean, they are the perfect couple, literally, at first. They were happy as could be. And what did they do? As soon as they sinned, they started blaming each other and blaming the serpent and blaming everything they could. You know, anything you can look at, pretty much, that's the reason. He looked around, he blamed the people. Stop blaming others. When you mess up, when you sin, when you get caught, or even if you don't get caught, it's better if you don't, and you just come and say, I did wrong. No excuses. I shouldn't have done it. No excuses. Don't defend yourself. It's pride. It's dishonesty. Deal with it. I'm not saying you just get over it. I don't believe in necessarily in just getting over things. I believe in dealing with things. Listen, if you have a problem with lying, don't say, you know, don't just, well, I need to get over this thing. Deal with it. Next time you lie, you realize it, you go to that person and you say, swallow real big, I lied. I lied. That's dealing with it. That's embarrassing. But what does that do? You deal with it. You're working your way through it. You talk to a friend. You talk to your pastor. You talk to a staff member. You say, look, I got a problem with this. What is that? That's dealing with something instead of just covering it and making excuses for it and pretending that it's not there. Now, you turn over in your Bible to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to look at Moses next. Moses also was given a commandment of God, just like Saul was. Moses given a command of God, and he made excuses at first. We find in chapter 3, verse 11, his first excuse. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Moses says, I'm a nobody. I don't have any business leading people. Well, partly that's already, he's being partly dishonest. He'd been trained to do this. When he was a young person living in the palace of the king, he'd been trained along these lines. And now he's saying, I just am a nobody. I don't really want to do it, is what he's saying. And by the way, I'm getting ahead of myself, but all excuses are smokescreens for the real problem. They're always a cover-up. They're always a facade that we build in our lives. And some of us, I mean, we just flat out build the excuse and we say, I'm okay. I mean, nobody knows that I'm doing this, so I must be okay. That's not reality. It's not the truth. So Moses says here, who am I? God said, I'm going to be with you. Look at verse 12. The Lord said, certainly I will be with thee. You realize that the Lord does the same thing for us, the exact same promise, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. God said, I will be with you. Our job, listen, all of you have a job to do. All of you have a life plan that you should follow. God has something for you. I know we say that all the time. I know we believe that. I know we believe that God leads people into full-time service and God leads people into different areas. You know what? As you follow that, you seek to follow that, don't make excuses. Don't say, well, I can't do something because, you know, people use, I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too lazy, I'm too whatever. We make excuses and the job doesn't get done that way. Listen, somebody else should have done that. Yeah, somebody else, you know, the garbage on the floor, the things that needed done, somebody, it was somebody's job, you know, the cleaning people outside, they're supposed to do that. And it's easy to blame everybody else or to talk about others and to give ourselves a free pass. Who am I? Who am I? Someone that God can use. Someone God can use. You know, God wants to use you. You believe that? You believe God can use you? We look at our lives and we look at our own inconsistencies sometimes. We say, man, I don't know if God can use me. I want you to know he can use every single one of you. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what. I'm not saying it doesn't matter your sin or what you've done as far as certain areas, but God can use anybody. If he can use a donkey in Balaam's life, he can use you. He can use you. He wants to use you if you're surrendered to him. And that's the devil's lie that he's feeding you to say, well, I can't do this. I can't share the gospel. I can't be a missionary. I can't be a pastor. I could never be a pastor's wife or a secretary, a school teacher. Those are all lies. The devil comes along to every one of us and he puts those seeds of doubt in our ear. Oh, you can't do that because. You know, he's an accuser of the brethren. He's always going around. He doesn't just accuse God. He accuses me to God. And he accuses God about me and all the things I've done. He's an accuser. So don't make excuses and just fit into his scheme, his plan. Who am I? Someone God can use. Then he asked the next question, Exodus 3:13. Moses said to God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel, they shall say it to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? God, I don't know what to say. That's what he's saying. I don't know what to say to them. And the Lord gives him an answer. God said to Moses, I am that I am. You're not going to them in your message. We don't have our own message to take to people. Listen, when the devil comes along and he puts seeds of doubt in your ear and you make excuses, you're rejecting the true message that you should be given. What shall I say? You say what God wants you to say. Let's move on. Suppose they don't believe me, chapter 4, verse 1. What if they won't believe me? Behold, they will not believe nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. God, they're not going to believe me. You know something? God doesn't really say that, oh yes, they're going to believe you. You know God doesn't expect everybody to believe what we say. In this case, he gave him some proofs. He was able to put his hand in his pocket and it turned leprous. He was able to throw the rod on the ground and it turned into a snake. Those were proofs for the Israelites, but the king of Egypt, he didn't believe him, right? He said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? You know, I am that I am sent me. Yeah, and who's that? Did you know that people aren't always going to believe you? People aren't always going to say, oh, wow, I'm so glad you came to my house and invited me out to church. I got a house out in our bus route. Every time I drive by it, my son, he says, that lady said, get off my porch. I hate church. There's people like that. There's people not going to believe you. That doesn't change our call. That doesn't change our message. Listen, if God has called you into his work, and he has, by the way, every one of us to some extent or another, when he calls us, he doesn't promise that everybody's going to listen to us. What shall I say? You say, oh, I'm sorry, what if they don't believe me? They might not believe you. And then the fourth one's just, I believe, a lie. Moses just doesn't tell the truth here. Look at chapter 4, verse number 10. Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. And you say, well, he's been in the wilderness for 40 years and his flowing speech that he used to speak with in Egypt, that's gone. But he said, neither heretofore. I've never been a good speaker. I can't do it. I'm not a good speaker. I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And of course, God gives him an answer. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. And then it brings us to the last thing that he says. Look at chapter 4, verse 13. And here's the truth. He said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Now, there's the real reason he didn't want to go. I just don't want to. You know, I like that. I'm glad he was finally honest. Listen, excuse making is such a dishonest thing. we all, you know, you've all been driving down the road and you see those lights behind you, you know, Christmas lights or 4th of July lights or something, you know. And those lights are behind you. What's the first thing you do? I have experienced this. You look at your speedometer and you say, oh, man, you blame it on your speedometer, right? Man, this car, man, I didn't even realize it. I was just driving along fast and all of a sudden, no. My foot is heavy. I just got a heavy foot. You know? No. The real reason finally comes out. He says, I don't want to do it. Can you send somebody else? And God gets angry at him. Verse 14, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. He said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak. Well, I'll send him along with you. Well, he later wished he didn't probably wish he'd never asked for Aaron here. He didn't want to do it. At last, he gives the real reason. Listen, every excuse you make is a smokescreen. These first four excuses are nothing but a smokescreen for why he didn't want to go. Listen, you've all been told to do something. I remember as a kid, we lived on the farm, and one of the things we had to do late at night was go out to the barn and put straw down for the cows. It was dark. There's all kinds of funny noises out in the barn. And I remember, Dad said, hey, I want you to go out there. It's your turn tonight. Go out and put straw down for the cows. And you can think of 100 things. Especially when you got six brothers who also could help you. You know, I think so-and-so ought to go with me to help me. And on, I mean, you can think of a lot of reasons or things that others could do or that you could get out of the job. And Moses here is the same way. He finally admits that the real reason he didn't want to go is just because he had other plans. He had things that he would rather do. Sometimes we use the excuse that we already have our own plans. Lord, I already have plans. I've already surrendered to this area. I'm already given over to you here. Isn't that enough? I've already surrendered, to be a preacher, but not a missionary. I've surrendered to be a missionary. You know, some of that stuff gets really silly. Why don't you just surrender to do anything God asks for you to do? Instead of, it's funny how we pit one thing against the other. Lord, I'm giving you this, so surely this is okay. This little sin that I have hidden away, it's not really affecting much anybody. Man, we make excuses. Just surrender. Excuse making is a lack of surrender to God. Excuse making is a form of dishonesty. Excuse making is a lack of faith, of just trusting in God and allowing Him to tell you what He thinks is good for your life instead of what we think is good. Moses simply didn't want to go. Notice here that in our lives today, we have the exact same problems that these people did. We sin, we mess up, and we are confronted with it, and it's real easy to throw up some smoke screens. It's real easy to throw up a few excuses. Just admit it. And then we're also faced with the task that God has for us. And you can go into that task and real grudging and stomping your feet and slamming the doors. Or you can just say, Lord, if you want me to do this, I'll do it for you. I mean, I know Moses went through a lot of hard times. Believe me, I have often thought I would not want to be Moses dealing with those several million people in the wilderness. He had a lot of hard times. But he also was greatly used of God. He's probably the most influential figure in all of the Bible, at least in the Old Testament. So God used him in a great way. What's the point? At least he turned away from his excuse-making. And we need to do the same thing. Don't make excuses. You make excuses, you don't accomplish things. You make excuses, you bring God's dissatisfaction. He's not satisfied with a life that's just half-hearted. Give it over to God completely. God gave Saul a job to do, and he didn't obey. He made excuses. He gave Moses a job to do. He made excuses, turned away from those excuses. What about you? What reason do you have for not surrendering to God? What reason do you have for not obeying the Lord? Is it because you know better? Is it because you've got other plans? Is it because you already know what you're supposed to do with your life? I challenge you this morning, surrender those excuses to God and get rid of them. Get rid of them. As a person, every one of you, it does us good to stop making excuses for our lives. Are you happy with your life? Are you happy with your life? And I don't think any of us can completely say yes. But if you're sitting there and you're thinking of all these things, well, this is bad, and I know I do this wrong, and I know I do this wrong, and sometimes it's easy for that to overwhelm you. Well, then peel the cover off. Peel that facade off of your life and quit pretending by making excuses. I think some of our lives, if we stripped away the excuses and we stripped away all the fake facade pretense, man, you come down to just a puny little shell. You know, it's like a cocoon that's wrapped up in all, and you rip that thing apart and you find there's nothing inside. It's gone. I think our lives are sometimes like that. All the pretense has people believing of what we are, and you rip that away and there's not much there. So stop making the excuses. Stop pretending and get real with the Lord. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. Listen, we all are inconsistent. We all have things that we struggle with. The difference is that some people deal with those things and face up to them and confront them, and other people just keep on living a life that's not really real. What are you going to do about it? What's your life going to be like? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Help us to be honest with you. God, I know that if I look at my life and I look at what you've done for me and done for my family, Lord, I know that I'm not worthy of any of your goodness. But, Lord, help us at least to just be honest and face up to our needs. Every one of us have things that we struggle with. Help us to be facing those things and fighting those things, instead of just excusing them away. Please bless this day now. Help us that those that need to make a decision this morning, that you would bring them to this altar and help them to deal with it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet this morning? And as the instruments play, if you'd like to come forward, you can do so.